This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In this video, I'm sharing three things I learned from the book Switch by Chip and Dan Heath. Switch is a book about behavior change. It's about how to make things a little bit easier when that change is very hard. And they give the example of a person riding an elephant. You, the rational side, know all the things that you need to do, the behaviors that you need to change, the habits that you want to establish, but it's hard. It's like riding an elephant because the elephant is the emotional side. That's the thing that no matter how hard you try to make it go a certain way, it still makes you sleep in when you're trying to establish a new morning routine, or it makes you eat ice cream when you're trying to go on to a new diet. So the rational side and that emotional side, they need to be in sync, because oftentimes they're at odds with one another. So in the book Switch, they give a three-part framework for how to make that change just a little bit easier. So that's the three things I'm going to be sharing today. The first thing we have to do is direct the writer. That's the rational side. How am I thinking about this problem and how am I approaching the problem? So we have to, one, and this is the thing that they focus in on, is look for bright spots. We tend to fixate on all the reasons that we're not able to change our behavior. So for example, if I've been trying to go to the gym regularly, I keep thinking about all the different ways that I've failed. What they say in the book is instead focus on the bright spots. What are successful habits that you've established? What are things that have worked in the past? Because not all strategies work for everyone. So you might read something in a book and it sounds like a great idea, but then when you go to implement it, it might not work out the same way. So instead, look to your past experience. Become a historian or a student of what you've done in the past, see what works, and then see what you can replicate. Once you identify those bright spots, those things that have worked, use that to now script out your next moves. What is the next step that you want to take in order to go down this path? And then that's that other part of directing the writer, is know exactly what the destination is. We've all heard the idea of SMART goals, having something that's measurable and attainable and all those things. And that's part of that element here, but know exactly what the destination is. You can't establish a habit of, let's say, reading 25 pages a day if you don't know what the actual destination or the purpose behind that goal is. So know where you're going, know things that have worked for you in the past, and then script your move, script the next steps to help you get a little bit further in that direction. That's what your rational mind needs to do to direct the writer. The second thing that we want to do, the second thing that I learned from this book, is motivate the elephant, how to tame the emotional side. One trap that we fall into is when we want to change a behavior, we go down a rabbit hole of information. So we buy books, we start watching a lot of videos, we find like subreddits, we do all of these different things. We join WhatsApp groups all around this one behavior change that we want to make. And we assume that once we learn, we'll start doing. But we've all fallen into that trap. We want to change a behavior, so we start learning about it as much as we can. Let's take eating, for example. When someone wants to eat better, quote unquote, there's a million different options. You can do intermittent fasting, you can do paleo, you can do a whole foods diet, you can, you know, do calorie restriction, you can do macros. There's 100 different things that you can do. What ends up happening is that we start researching all of them. And because we have so much information, we fall into this trap of wanting to do what's best. And so I have to research all these different things to find the most optimal form of eating, or find the most optimal exercise, or find the most optimal morning workout routine. And in that pursuit of optimizing and finding the most efficient or the best possible way, we end up not taking any action. So it's like, for example, if I'm trying to find the most optimal form of exercise, and I spend 2 months researching and buying books and taking courses, and at the end of 2 months, I'm just mentally exhausted from looking at all of those things. Meanwhile, had I simply done some basic exercises at home every day for that 2 months, it might not have been the most efficient thing. It might not have been the most optimal workout. I may not have had the best form. But after 2 months, I would have noticed some progress that I could have built on. So we want to go for that feeling rather than the information. What are the feelings that I can cultivate? What is the motivation that I can cultivate? And get an attachment, and get an attachment to it. The other part of that motivating the elephant is something that we learn from marketing. When you look at marketing material, it convinces you to buy something based on emotion. We rarely change our behavior based on information. And so that's why when we look at these things, it's never motivating you to buy a product to, let's say, lose weight by teaching you about cholesterol levels and macronutrients and nutrition and things like that. But they'll nail into the emotion of, this is how you want to look when you go to the beach, right? They know that the feeling is what motivates a person more. So to motivate that elephant, we have to get out of that trap of information. We have to stop trying to learn more things, making us think it's going to change the way that we behave, but rather embrace that emotional side and say, what are the feelings I have around something? Why do I want to do it? How will I feel when I do it? And let that be the driver instead, and be okay with it not being the most optimal or efficient or optimized way of doing something. Along with that, to motivate the elephant, we have to shrink the change. Find the easiest possible way to pursue down that path. BJ Fogg calls this the tiny habits approach. So for example, if someone wants to establish a habit of flossing their teeth every night, he says, well, focus on flossing one tooth. If you want to focus on working out, do one push-up every day. I remember one person saying that if you want to establish the habit of going to the gym, don't go to the gym. Just make it a habit to drive to the parking lot of the gym, sit in your car for 5 minutes, and then drive home. And do that a few times a week. The more that you can shrink the chain, shrink the action item that's actually demanded of yourself, the easier it becomes to implement it, the easier it becomes to progress down that path. The last part of motivating that elephant, what Chip and Dan Heat say is, they say, grow your, or make your identity attached to this thing that you're pursuing. And so a lot of times we have this script for ourselves, like, I'm not athletic, I'm not a morning person, I'm a night owl, I'm, you know, never trust a skinny chef. We say these types of phrases, we attach ourselves to these types of phrases, the type of person that we are, and it takes on part of our identity. We have to change the way, the story that we tell ourselves. Change the script that we tell ourselves of the type of person that we are and the type of person that we're trying to become. That's an integral part of working with that emotional side of it. A lot of times, if we look at the habits that we failed at doing, sometimes it becomes part of our identity. I'm the person that tried to learn a foreign language 15 times and have failed, and that just kind of becomes who we are, as opposed to, I'm the person that's just experimented with 15 different ways, but I'm the type of person that wants to learn a second language and will learn a second language. The last part of the framework, the third thing that I learned, is shape your path. Tweak your environment. How can you build your habits to make something automatic and you're able to do it without thinking? One great example actually is the pandemic. Once it came, we had to change our behavior immediately. So let's take, for example, washing your hands or sanitizing your hands. That became a behavior change and a habit change that we had to implement overnight. What I did for myself, what our family did, let's take the idea of sanitizing your hands. We just put hand sanitizers everywhere. There's hand sanitizers near the garage door, near the front door. There's hand sanitizers in the car, in both of our cars. And there's hand sanitizers next to the keys, pocket-sized ones, so that every time we leave the house, we have hand sanitizers with us so that when we go out, if we touch something, we can immediately sanitize our hands. Now, if the hand sanitizers were located in the kitchen pantry and we had to remember every time we left the house to go get them, we'd probably fail at that habit. But we changed the environment so drastically that it's impossible to forget. It becomes habitual. And now when it's in your pocket, you can reach for it and sanitize your hands whenever you need to. That behavior change was a result of shaping the environment and tweaking the environment. So think in those terms. What are things that you can do to change your environment around? One habit that I'm a big proponent of is a reading habit. Reading at least 25 pages every day so you can get through a number of different books. Well, how do you change your environment to accommodate that? Replace social media apps on your phone with a Kindle app so you've always got your ebooks on the go. Maybe you delete Spotify or Pandora or, you know, the other apps that you listen to in the car, and you replace it with an Audible app so you can listen to ebooks in the car. Where in your house do you read? Is it at your desk? Is it on the couch? Is it in bed? Well, guess what? I put books in each of those places. The bedside table, the coffee table in the living room, the desk that I work from, all of them have a couple of books so that I can just constantly read whatever it is that I feel like reading. And wherever I am, there's less resistance to finding a book. And so the habit of reading regularly becomes that much easier to implement. So that's three things I learned from the book Switch: direct the writer, train your rational side, motivate the elephant, tame that emotional side, and then shape the path. Make it easier for the elephant to go down the path that you want it to go down. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please subscribe, leave a comment, share your bright spots. Let's do that. Share your bright spots. What are habits that you've implemented in the past? What are strategies that you use that work to help you do it? Share those bright spots in the comments. See you guys in the next video.